News Radio WTAM 1100. The little hot stove league news from the Indians about Carrasco. Mike Steiner with Ed Moore in sports for you in 3 minutes here.
It's not a matter of if you'll need traffic and weather for your drive-in. It's when. Get it every 10 minutes on the 10s with Wills and Snyder on WTAM 1100. Cleveland's News Radio.
Next couple weeks traveling. Everybody's got a cell phone. We got to charge it. My goodness, my phone is down. I got to charge it. You got to have charges. I've got the deal boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Will's ways to save. It's become a first world problem in some families here, Matt.
Not even that. It's ridiculous, Bill. Your phone can take photos, read your fingerprint, unlock with your eyes, all crazy stuff. But the darn thing can't carry a call over the course of a day without dying.
It's a frustration. What'd you come across here?
I'm frustrated. And then here's the other thing that makes me crazy. I apologize for this personal rant for our listeners. I don't get out much. But people will go. I'm sure none of these are our listeners. But people will go to spend $1,500, $1,600 on an Apple or Android smartphone fully loaded. That's the value of most smartphones.
Yep.
And then what do they do to that $1,500 or $1,600 phone? They pick up just any charger or any power bank from a dollar store, the cheapest thing they could find online, and they plug it into that $1,600 phone and hope for the best.
You buy one while you're in line at the gas station. Yeah, grab that. I need that thing. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, good luck with that phone. Hope that battery holds up.
Good luck,
So I'm very particular about what I plug into my phone, and I know most of our listeners are too, and I don't mean to be hard on anyone, but it drives me crazy. And your solution today is one of the best power banks ever made. It has almost triple the capacity of what a typical one has, give you up to 3 days of additional battery life without having to go to a plug outlet, charges 60% faster than anything else, 5 times faster than a plug outlet, and more importantly, Bill, it can handle two iPads, two Androids, two whatever you want. It's sleek, and it has something called iClever built in, which means it takes a look at the charging needs of the device to which it is connected and then determines what type of frequency preventing overcharging.
Okay, so it's something I need. You found the best quality. What price you got this thing at?
Usually about $60 or $70, which, trust me, is well worth it. Yeah. $34.99 today. Mm. This is basically Black Friday holiday pricing. Will not go lower. And it's one of the best safety investments you can have if you have someone on the road this holiday season.
Which we all will be. The deal boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. Watch him there this morning. Back same time next week with all sorts of deals for you. Just go to WTAM.com, keyword save. Matt, thanks. Have a great weekend.
Awesome.
Road. Coming up in 5, your 401k, the stock market. What in the world has happened this week? Bill Zimper will walk us through the story. And the news on your money in 5 on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Then we got jobs numbers out later this morning, how they might be affecting the market. Chris Parker, our financial tailor, will check in. 5:15, Mike Snyder Sports Now, mornings 15 to 45 past on News Radio, WTAM 1100.
Good morning, Bill. Perhaps setting the table for a major move at the winter meetings, the Indians locked up starter Carlos Carrasco through 2022 with a $47 million contract extension. Cookie's glad to be here.
You know what? I just want to finish my career with that. And I was so thankful for that and really happy. So at the same time, my family's happy too.
And that's the bottom line. Now, Carlos, here to stay, but what about Corey Kluber and Trevor Bauer on what is next for the Tribe? Team President Chris Antonetti says,
I think what we're focused on are the two goals. We want to make sure we have a team that's capable of winning the American League Central in 2019 and then also better positioning our team for success beyond that. There are a variety of different ways that can happen with the variety of different impact on our payroll.
All right, payroll, big factor here. And even in terms of the pursuit of pitching, some crazy dollars have been spent already for free agent pitchers. That's why the Indians' willingness, perhaps, to trade Trevor Bauer or Corey Kluber could draw some great offers. We'll see how it plays out. The winter meetings begin Sunday in Las Vegas. The Browns are getting ready to host Carolina Sunday, and that means dealing with quarterback Cam Newton. And Greg Williams says,
we have to defend formationally, and we can't be chasing ghosts. You know, we have to, you know, honor the fact that, you know, he is a really, really good football player, and they've got great speed at the wide receiver position. So, you know, we've got to play the right way, and we always want to keep the ball in front of us on defense, and we've got to do a good job of tackling in space.
This will be a game to really gauge where the Browns are right now. Carolina's been reeling. They're banged up. They've lost four in a row, but they are desperate. So they are backed into a corner. It's a really a must-win for them. For the Browns, they're at home. Things seem to be pointing in the right direction for them. A lot will be answered Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. Now, we'll have countdown to kickoff from Cleveland Jack Casino beginning at 9 leading up to that kickoff. Now, on Thursday Night Football last night, it was the Derrick Henry show. He ran for 238 yards, four touchdowns, including a record-tying 99-yard run for a score, equaling the great Tony Dorsett's run back in 1983. Tennessee 30, Jacksonville 9. What happened to the Jaguars this year? Cavaliers host the Kings at the Q tonight at 7:30. You can hear it here on WTAM 1100 and on 106.9 FM. Tristan Thompson has his wallet a little lighter. He's been fined $15,000 for flipping an obscene gesture toward a fan in Brooklyn Monday after the Cavs got that final stop to beat the Nets. Hockey tonight, here the Monsters battle Wilkes-Barre as they'll drop the puck at 7. You can hear it on Alt 99.1. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
What in the world's happened to your 401k? On Your Money from News Radio WTAM 1100. Bill Zimfer checks in this morning. Bill, you and I aren't money experts, but look, we can watch this thing. The Dow took a couple of big swings this week, right?
Yeah, quite a case of whiplash, especially yesterday, Bill, when the Dow Jones Industrials were down 785 points at 1:11:30 in the morning Eastern Time. Ended up finishing down the day 79 points. So what happened on a 705-point reversal on the day? Well, first off, Fed monetary policy and the fears of a worsening relationship between the United States and China have been the biggest stressors on the financial markets this year. So what happened? It all started Monday when we had some indications there could be a sign of an economic slowdown, not only in this country, but globally. Then we had some increasing jitters about that trade deal that supposedly was worked out between President Trump and Xi Jinping. Was it really a trade deal? Those jitters continued. Then we had the arrest of a Chinese telecom executive in Canada that really fed into the fears here. So all of a sudden, the futures began plunging on Wednesday after the day was taken off on Wednesday because of the day of mourning. The futures plunged Wednesday night, had to be stopped a couple of times in that futures trading because of the plunging. That continued early yesterday. So what happened to bring it back? Bring on the Fed. The Federal Reserve reportedly, according to the Wall Street Journal, looking at stopping any kind of immediate rate increases, interest rate increases. That'll help out the financial markets. So we ended up with a late rally yesterday that kind of saved the day from the Federal Reserve. But as one veteran financial analyst always told me, Bill, the only thing predictable about the financial markets is that they will be unpredictable.
And on that point, let me get your head here on this. The one thing stock market doesn't like is uncertainty. They kind of like to know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, and part of the problem was we had all day Wednesday when the markets were closed for the day of mourning to really think about these things and increase the jitters. So when those futures markets opened up on Wednesday night, everything kind of hit the fan.
Bill Zimfer on it this morning. Bill, thank you. Have a good weekend, too, by the way.
You too, Bill. Thank you.
Dow dropped almost 80 points yesterday. Chris Parker, the financial tailor at Parker Wealth Management, looks ahead to later this morning. Wall Street's got some reports to look at, including jobs numbers, Chris?
Bill, in the final jobs numbers, last month we looked back and we saw that we had a wonderful upward surprise, 250,000 new jobs. The range that we're looking at this month is between 140 and 220,000. The consensus comes in at 190. We take a look at the ADP employment report, which just came out yesterday, to get an idea of how close we might get to that, and it was just under 180, so it looks like that 190 is real. Hopefully we get another surprise. In terms of unemployment, just as a reminder, there are actually six unemployment numbers that the government publishes every month. The third, the U3, is the one that we normally talk about. Last month, that number came in at 3.7. The expectations are that we're going to remain there. And you know, Bill, with the market being a little shaky this week, even with a day off, the market's been shaky this week, we're in need of some good economic news to spark the markets, and we're going to get these two numbers at 8:30 this morning.
Chris Parker, the financial tailor, Parker Wealth Management. Thanks, Chris. 525. Now, speaking of money, what are we spending it on? Sherry Preston in 2 minutes on what we're buying right now for Chris. station. Mike Snyder Sports in less than five. Michael Bauer checks in every day on a couple of stories. This morning, something out of the Washington Post. A lot of concern, of course, about hate in this world. Let's go to Austria, though. What'd you find?
Yeah, it's a fascinating story here, Bill, especially when you take a look at the First Lady and her Be Best and online bullying concepts and what we've all seen over the past few years and online. In Austria, spewing online hatred is taken way more seriously than just the belief that there's some user out there flexing their internet muscles. It can be taken to the courts and tried as incitement to hatred. In fact, Bruno Weber, a city councilor with Austria's governing far-right Freedom Party, went on a beer-fueled online rant earlier this year, responding to an ad he had seen with a white man and a non-white man holding a baby. He made racist and homophobic comments describing the advertisement as filth and using the Austrian equivalent of the N-word, all online. Now, he was prosecuted for incitement to hatred, with the court giving him an option. Instead of just going into jail time, which is one of the options they have, the second one is avoiding criminal conviction if he agrees to attend a course, which in essence is a course on good manners online. It's called New Start. It's a six-month course. It's part of efforts to combat online hate speech in Austria. And it aims to get participants to understand why their behavior is wrong and to recognize how they can express their opinions without denigrating others.
That's online. I wonder if you say something to somebody walking the street in Austria, do they do the same thing to you?
Yeah, that same thing kind of comes up. I guess they have a harder time. I mean, it's been a he said, she said kind of a thing in online. You can go back and read the Twitter feed or the Facebook post and see if this is something that has been happening with any kind of regularity, which is a part of what this is all about. If the individual who's prosecuted refuses to participate, they automatically go ahead with sentencing. If you take it, then you get 6 months in this assessment at the end of it all to find out if you made any sufficient progress. If you have not, guess who's going right back to jail again.
Wow.
So this is one of those cases that they're trying really hard. As you can understand, Austria and their history having issues with the neo-Nazi talk and that kind of thing, this has been a big issue for them, and this is the way that they feel they're offering something other than just being thrown behind bars.
Interesting story. You can ask Kevin Hart, of course, about past posts when it comes to social media, too, this week. All right. Michael Bauer with that interesting stuff. Michael, thank you. Have a good weekend, too, pal.
Enjoy your weekend, Bill.
See you, buddy. Speaking of bullying... hate, I guess you could add into this. Have you seen the video yet of the kid walking to school and the dad's in the car behind her? It's online. If you haven't seen it, do a little Google search. It'll be you'll find it. A 10-year-old girl suspended from riding the school bus for bullying. So she's on the bus. She's bullying somebody. And the school evidently, after a couple of warnings, said, now you can't ride the bus anymore. Well, she gets home. Her father, Matt Cox, punished her by making her walk 5 miles to school, 36-degree weather. And to drive the point home, he captures the whole thing on video. He's in the car behind her. I mean, she's, you know, he's following her the whole way, so she's safe. Don't worry. But, you know, people, you know, hear grandparents talk about, I walked 5 miles to school, 36-degree. Well, this girl actually had to. Only it was because she was bullying on the school bus. Well, now the dad is receiving complaints because he is supposedly being a bad parent because he made his daughter walk to school the 5 miles in 36-degree weather, even though he is the parent. Interesting. I mean, 10 years old. School says she can't ride the bus anymore because she's been bullying other kids. And the father says, hey, you're not doing that. I'll teach you a lesson. You're going to walk. And he did the video to follow her. AM 1100. Speaking of the week, what a week it has been as we said goodbye to 41.
You say, Baker, if you're so smart, why am I president and you're not? We rejoice, Mr. President, that you are safely tucked in now and through the ages with God's loving arms around you. Because our glory, George, was to have had you as our president and as such a friend.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound.
41 was a big fan of the Oak Ridge Boys. They flew in to sing Amazing Grace yesterday in the train. Amazing pictures of that train. It was painted just like Air Force One with the presidential colors, taking his body from Houston to College Station, buried yesterday. Amazing week as the 41st President of the United States, of course, passed away a week ago tonight, as a matter of fact. Rush was interesting yesterday. He was in the cathedral for the National Cathedral for the funeral this week. Talked about what he saw and experienced. Fascinating. Rush Limbaugh follows the news at noon today on WTAM 1100. And this may be in a stack of stuff. Nancy Pelosi says House Democrats will not budge on President Trump's border wall, not even for a deal on DACA. It's been a while since we heard about DACA. Pelosi expected, of course, to take over as Speaker of the House. Says Trump's wall is immoral, ineffective, and expensive. Other than that, it's okay. Of course, they put a two-week little budget together to try and keep things going through Christmas. But come late January, the Democrats will be running the... A lot of stuff going on this weekend, including one laugh. Bill Engvall, funny guy, going to be in town at the Lorraine Palace Theater, Lorraine, tomorrow night. He was kind with some time this week. We caught up with Bill Engvall, and he's a big Dallas Cowboy fan. I kind of laughed. I said, you know, the Cowboys have a lot of drama, kind of like our Browns, only the Cowboys seem to win over the years. And a little bit of our conversation with Bill Engvall.
I want to give some props to the Browns. I've only been to one Browns game in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you this, that even, I think they were like 0-9.
Yeah.
But the stadium was still packed.
Oh, yeah.
And they were, yeah, Cleveland is just a sport. It is, I think if you looked up the definition of sports town in the dictionary, it's the Cleveland city limits.
We like to feel that way. Yeah. Well, you want to drop some Brown stuff in Saturday, it'll be fine. Okay? Don't worry about it. Yeah. You know, we're supposed to promote the show, by the way. Bill Engvall will be in town. He's at the Lorraine Palace Theater on Saturday night, touching on everything. Lots of great observational stuff. And look, what a career. I feel like I am talking to old radio guy because you were literally behind the mic for a while.
Let me clarify that.
Okay, all right.
My DJing involved the phrase, gentlemen, get out your wallets, here comes Cheyenne.
Well, at least it's on the resume.
Let's say I played a lot of Van Halen and AC/DC.
Well, as long as you know the intro times. But now, look, yeah, you know, we've got, and I know your time is valuable. Geraldo,
I know, the good ones always go by too fast.
I know. Geraldo Rivera is on our station. He's on at 9 o'clock. He follows me every day. You and Geraldo have something in common. You were both on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. He went out
to the finals.
He went out real early, though, and you got to the finals. That's what I wanted to mention.
Yeah, by the way, it wasn't my dancing at all. It was the fact that I realized that this was just a popularity contest. And so what I would do is I would dance with this smoking hot 24-year-old British girl. And
Emma,
then at the end of the dance, I'd run over and kiss my wife. And every woman in America went, why can't you be like that?
I think Bobby Bones took a page out of your when he won this year because he knew it was all about popularity. So
it is, dude. Listen, if anybody that thinks it's a dance competition is, they would not have asked us to be on a real dance competition.
Bill Engvall, town tomorrow night, Lorraine Palace Theater in Lorraine tomorrow night for a show. A great podcast he does called My Two Cents. Bill Engvall, do a search on that. He was very kind. We spent about 10 minutes talking about comedy and more about him and the country and things going on. It's up online. You can check it out when you want. WTAM.com, the Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder page, or at willsandsnyder.com. A little more if you're a Bill Engvall fan. And he, of course, in town tomorrow night, Lorraine Palace Theater in Lorraine. Rick Cini is at faircompare.com this morning. Maybe complicated, thinking about maybe treating family or friends on an airline trip this holiday. Rick, it seems like air travel is so complicated. Is there a way I could wrap something up and put it under the tree for somebody?
Yeah, I think it's more likely what you want to do is wrap up a note or even do some pre-planning and say, hey, you know, I've got a budget for you for doing a trip or two for your family or whatnot. Can we work together so we can do that for you? The two most common errors made in the gift of travel is actually buying somebody an airline ticket. If you do that and they need to change it, essentially, most likely you're going to lose most of the value of that ticket because of the penalty rules that are on that ticket. And secondarily, people will actually buy people miles, for example, on particular airlines.
Right.
And they'll buy them for 2 cents, 2.5 cents when they're only worth 1 cent. You're better off giving them a gift card and earmarking it towards travel. So, I think in the area of gift of travel, it's more of a collaborative effort where you're saying, I'm giving you a budget and let's work together and it'll be fun as we plan this together. And then that time you get to spend some extra time with those family members that you probably, or those friends that you haven't actually spent much time with in the past. Kind of a neat effort.
I know it depends on the airline. But, you know, if you're a family member that travels a lot or you want to have them the ability to go visit or something, they can probably get the best deal, knowing their schedule, yet some kind of a gift card just to help with the baggage fees maybe,
Oh, yeah. And yeah. The $60 baggage fee now on some airlines is definitely worthwhile, even noting that the fact that, you know, I'm buying you some carry-on luggage so it just barely fits in that overhead bin and you don't have to pay that $60 on your round-trip ticket is probably not a bad idea. In fact, a gift card inside a nice piece of luggage that's good for carry-on is probably a great idea as well.
Good tips. Rick Cini is at faircompare.com. Getting out of town or thinking about a trip somewhere, great website to use, by the way. Rick Cini. Rick, thanks, pal.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
Jay Ratliff, by the way, is the morning off. Normally our aviation expert with Jay Ratliff, the report each morning this time. I just looked, though, if you are flying out of Hopkins, if Memphis is possibly a connection, you can have a delay. Looks like Memphis has got about an hour delay, and snow and wet weather, too, in the west could be a problem today at some airports. 627 News Radio, WTAM 11. Talking movies, and Kevin Carr joins me from FatGuysTheMovies.com. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. There's a really historic, I think, 25th anniversary of Schindler's List being re-released, if you will, Universal putting it back out in the theaters. I mean, it's a moving movie. I think most of us have probably seen it. And I saw an interview with Steven Spielberg. He evidently had to fight a bit to make sure the thing was done in black and white.
Oh, yeah. Black and white is a very controversial choice to make of theatrical distribution, and even that's the way it was 25 years ago. Other movies like The Man Who Wasn't There and even Young Frankenstein back in the 70s, a lot of times distributors, especially international distributors, don't like to make movies in black and white, and sometimes they'll just take over and release them in color. So, yeah, that's always an artistic choice. And it has been since the 60s, but a lot of times the just not having color in the film can hurt its distribution. So if you want to do that, directors have to fight for it.
Had the little girl in color, of course, but I was interested in the interview. He said that at the time when they were thinking of doing the picture, he said, look, everything I've seen about the story of the Holocaust has been black and white. That's the way I want to do it. And they, let's do a color version at least maybe for the... the VCRs, if you will, and he held his ground. But of course, he is Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, and that's the danger that can happen is that it can be taken away from you and just released in color overseas. That's what happened with The Man Who Wasn't There, which was a Coen Brothers film. And in fact, Young Frankenstein, when Mel Brooks made Young Frankenstein on the same issue, he made a point to shoot it on black and white film stock, so it was impossible to release a color version. But yeah, there are, you're right, with Schindler's List, there's, the little girl in red, and then there's also a bit at the end that's in color.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that was a compromise or if that was just still artistic as well.
Kevin Carr, FatGuysAtTheMovies.com. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Theater, Cleveland.com, author of many books, including the latest, The Browns Blues, where he will be signing copies tomorrow, Books A Million, Belden Village. Did I get that right, Terry?
I'm sure you'll be first in line, Bill.
Well, I was going to mention, while you're driving to Books A Million, Belden Village, to meet Terry Pluto tomorrow, 2 to 3, you could listen to the Wills and Snyder Showgram podcast.
Right.
Where we talked to Terry about the book and was...
Right.
See, I'm working two plugs in here.
I love that.
You were so kind to spend time with us this week about the book. Been getting some great reviews and just really good stories about the Browns, Terry. Good stuff.
Well, thank you so much.
Books A Million in Belden Village tomorrow between 2 and 3. Okay. I just on Twitter went back, found a picture of me and Carlos Carrasco from spring training.
Mm-hmm.
One of us just signed a huge deal, congratulating him and an early Christmas present for his family. Terry, your take on this, and then I guess speculation, what it might mean next week with the winter meetings out in Vegas with Kluber and Bauer.
Well, I doubt that they will trade him now at this point because it would look really bad to do that. But long term, in other words, a year from now or whatever, that contract, which is by baseball standards very modest, makes him even more tradable, I think, down the line. But for now, I think two things happen. One, Carlos obviously likes security. He's wanted to sign these extensions as he went along. This is a guy who had Tommy John elbow surgery. He had, remember when he was younger, a bit of a regular heartbeat for a little while. And he keeps getting hit by line drives. I mean, he has an idea that pitchers get hurt. And then secondly, I think when the Indians spent the last month or so, like, which pitcher would bring the most in and what they're interested, my guess is that was not Carlos. So that led to it.
All right, Terry, what do you think? Are they going to pull the trigger on a trade for Trevor or Corey this coming week or before, at some point this winter?
Yeah, I do. It may not happen right this week at the general manager's meetings. I remember when they made the big trade to get Bauer, they laid the groundwork at the meetings there, and then it happened like right before Christmas. And that was a huge trade. Remember, Chin Chu Chu went to the Reds, and players flew all over the place. They got Brian Shaw in that deal, too. It was one of the best ones they've made. So I just think so. There's so much work that I sense that they're doing. They don't want to come back with the same team, Mike. It's not just about cutting the money. It's like they know that what they have isn't good enough.
Right. I mean, they're in position to win this division, but to get by the Red Sox, Yankees, or Astros, they need more. Of the two, as I look at it, Terry, I think the one most likely to go would be Bauer. What do you think?
Right. He has the most value. He's younger. And I just think that would be the guy that would interest other teams. But you have to figure out what team is offering, you know, the old what prospects deal. I don't think any of us thought, I was thinking back now to that big trade for when they got Bauer. That was a three-way deal yet. You know who else was in that trade? Didi DeGregorio
was
in that deal.
Wow.
You go back and look at that, baby. It turned out to be a monster. And Arizona gave up on Gregorius. That's why they traded Bauer to begin with, because they got Gregorius and he ended up with the Yankees later on. So you had two top flight prospects in a trade along with Sin Chu Chu and some others. So I guess it's, you know how Chris Antonetti is. You interview him, he's almost like he's auditioning to be the world's most boring man when he's talking. But he has made a lot of boring, a lot of unboring, in other words, a lot
yes.
of dramatic, bold trades. So
right.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, him and Chernoff working it, and I would not be surprised. And the thing too, Terry, this has got to be more than prospects. They need guys.
Yes.
This is about winning now. When you've got Lindor, Ramirez, and the pitching they have, this is not about tomorrow so much as it is about this year, right?
Yeah, and I think but they don't want just the guy's going to be here for a year.
Mm-hmm. So. I got you.
Be a player that'll be here for a couple of years. But that's exactly, you know, that's exactly what I think they are looking for. And don't forget the bullpen is still a huge question mark. You know, they've got to get some arms there. So I'm very intrigued. I'm happy for Carlos. It's nice to have a guy who wants to stay here.
Right.
And Carlos Carrasco is really good.
Yes, he is. Terry, quick thought from you. The Browns-Panthers really looks like a good gauge game for the Browns. They're at home. Carolina's really struggling, but it's a must-win. They're still in the playoff picture. What are your thoughts about Sunday?
Right, and it's a good chance to see Baker Mayfield in some really cold weather. I think that's important, too. If you think about it, we haven't had him out in any of those kind of games just yet. So, because if they're going to go anywhere, you know, down the line, a year or two from now, he's going to be playing games in January.
Good point. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter at Terry Pluto. Seeing tomorrow, Books a Million, Belden Village. On your way, check out the Showgram podcast, Wills and Snyder, on your iHeartRadio app. Listen to our conversation with Terry about the book you'll buy, and he'll sign for you tomorrow, The Browns Blues. Terry, thanks, partner.
Thanks, Terry.
Take care.
Be good, buddy. 6:58, News Radio, WTAM 11.
Baker Mayfield and the Browns looking to bounce back from a loss to Houston. Mike, I know that you live in the Charlotte area, as I mentioned, so you follow the Carolina Panthers pretty closely. They have struggled in the last month now. They've dropped four in a row. What's going on with the Panthers?
I think one of the problems, the big problem with the Panthers is when they had, they lost their defense coordinator, so they, before the season, and they've been trying to figure out defensively what works best for them. And I think at the point now, they were at 6-2 and have lost four in a row since. But I think what they're trying to do is they're pressing. You see a very talented football team, and there's too many guys out there that instead of doing their particular job to the best of their ability, that there's a number of guys that are trying to make a great play. They're trying to make the game-winning play, and it could be the first quarter, and it's putting them in bad situations. Just when they need a stop, somebody gets out of their rush lane, for instance, allows a quarterback to buy a little bit of extra time to make a critical throw, and it's just, I think it's more of not ability and talent. It's too many guys trying to be too good, and that creates problems for teams.
Pretty much, it's must-win mode for them this week, isn't it?
It is, and they get a tough road after this because they have, after this Cleveland game, they have New Orleans at home, Atlanta at home, then they go to New Orleans again.
What kind of year is Cam Newton having?
Cam's playing the best he's ever played. He's They have a new offensive coordinator, North Turner, and they're really working with Cam to check downfield. If there's something open, take it. But if not, don't be afraid to drop the ball off to somebody underneath. And he's Newton is at the highest completion percentage of his career, and his quarterback rating is higher than it's ever been. He's just playing very solid and very consistent. He's not running as much as he has in the past, not as many design runs for him, but when he does get out of the pocket, he will take off with it. But he has a tremendous weapon in a running back named Christian McCaffrey, who is just phenomenal. This kid is so quick and so talented and multifaceted. He is what the NFL is going to as far as running backs. The guys that can run with the football, but you get them out in space one-on-one, and this kid can do a lot of things on the field.
Mike Pago, great to catch up with you. Mike doing well, and I know he sends his best to Browns fans everywhere.
Good stuff. Good to hear picks. All right, it is Friday. We have, how many weeks have you been doing picks? Scott Scuderi's producer extraordinaire alongside.
14, 15.
We finally have a sponsor.
We do.
We've gotten this far in the season.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, you were shocked as I was.
Oh, you mean picks? Oh, I've been doing it for years with you here. But
no, I mean this season.
Oh, this season.
Yeah,
oh,
but we finally have a sponsor.
Okay.
Every week for Scooter does his picks. Yeah. You can actually see these also at WTAM.com. They may be more offensive than the story about the candy canes we'll get to. Scooter's picks are brought to you by the WTAM.com online auction.
Awesome.
Yeah, they bought the time this morning to promote the auction here to sponsor your picks. You can also go to WTAM.com, keyword auction. Bid on some great stuff through 3 o'clock today. There's a smart massage chair. Yeah, you put, what, $1.50 in these things at the mall and you sit there. You can have one of your own in your house. Smart massage chair. You can bid on that. There's a 5-person hot tub. Got some great bikes up there. GE French door single wall oven. I mean, there's some great stuff. Jewelry.
That's awesome.
The online auction, WTAM.com, keyword auction. You can bid through 3 o'clock on Friday, the sponsors of Scooter's Picks today. How'd you do last week? I know a lot of us are wanting to know.
Yeah, 4-8. Took a little on the chin.
4-8. That's actually pretty good, though, for you.
Year-to-date, 64 wins, 79 losses, one push. But the last few weeks of the season, I know I'll do well, and the playoffs coming up, too. So we'll bring it all back.
You're just bounded.
All right.
Let's go tomorrow. Commander-in-Chief going to be there, right?
Yep, Commander-in-Chief's going to be there. The Navy versus Army at Philadelphia. The Navy are underdogs, getting 7 points. Army's a great team. They've won 2 in a row so far. I'm going to go still with Navy. I think they keep it close. Take Navy plus 7.
Have you ever not?
Yes, yes. I picked Army in this game before. Oh, yeah.
I thought you were picking Navy because of 41 passing this week, too.
It could. Well, that, too. I think the Navy will bond. I think Navy keeps it close. The 7 looks good. 7 looks good. All right, before we go to the NFL, all right, all these picks that I am going to do for the NFL are based on NFL Week 15. Okay, these are based on NFL Week 15 because the NFL likes parity. And the NFL likes to keep the playoff chase almost to the last weekend of the season. So, AFC, Dolphins, Broncos, the Colts, and the Ravens, that is going to be the tightness there. Now, the Redskins, the Eagles, the Panthers, the Vikings. You're looking at all these teams that could be 6-7. They could be 6-7.
Do you have any picks?
Yes, here they come. They could be 6-7, and this is the way they want it. These are all based on my picks.
I'm still
so
waiting on a pick.
The Bears against the Rams this weekend. You take the Bears plus the 3. Take the Bears plus the 3 against the Rams. Broncos in the playoff hunt. They are against the 49ers. Take the Broncos minus the 4. They could be in the driver's seat for the playoffs of the AFC.
Patriots go south to play the Fish.
Yes, Patriots need this win to keep to stay intact for the division and also for the playoff chase for home field advantage. Take the Patriots minus 7.5 against the Dolphins. The Saints. Saints lock up the NFC South. I like a minus 8 against the Bucks. The Packers. No McCarthy. I like the Packers this weekend against the Falcons. Take the minus 5.5. The Texans against the Colts. Here's the thing. Colts are going to end up 6-7. I like the Texans minus the 5. The Ravens at Kansas City. Take the Ravens plus the 7.
There isn't a double-digit pick this week, is there?
No.
Everyone's within sight. Within sight.
And I'm telling you what. The Chiefs will lose this weekend so that the Patriots and also the Chargers can stay intact for that home field advantage.
Do they know that?
Oh, yeah. Because the NFL parity. Okay. Ravens plus the 7 against Kansas City. And now, the Cleveland Browns, take them plus the two. I like them at home, even to get the straight-up win, but take the Browns plus the two against the Panthers. The Panthers will be 6-7 along with the Eagles, the Redskins. They're going to be that way with the Vikings. You watch what happens this weekend. They want to keep it close up until that last weekend of the season. So that's why picks.
Yeah.
The NFL
does. What was your record last week?
The NFL likes drama and
parody.
What
was your record last weekend?
It doesn't matter what my record is.
Well, you mentioned at the beginning. I just want to reset.
Oh, so what? 4-8.
Okay, 4-8.
Well, how come you don't glorify Scooters me picks in the past years when Scooters, I had winners?
Scooters Picks brought to you by the WTAM.com online auction at WTAM.com keyword auction.
You sure they would?
You remember where you heard it? The NFL likes
we
parody.
Got a sponsor. Will you relax? Through 3 o'clock today, you can bid on some great stuff at WTAM.com keyword auction. Team coverage of the Browns. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. It's Browns-Panthers Sunday. Time to talk to Bernie.
Yes, it is. And before we look at the Browns and Panthers this week, Bernie, a quick look back. Last week, Baker Mayfield, of course, had that awful first half, but he played much better in the second half. How are you processing Baker's play right now?
I know that with success, the quarterback tends to get a little too much of the credit. In failure, you tend to get too much to blame. There's things going on with younger receivers also that I really think, from the timing standpoint, they need to make sure the depths of the routes, the timing of the routes, where they're supposed to be. Because when you're a quarterback, whether you're young or old, when you're getting pressure, the ability to understand where your guys are going to be so that you can let it rip, like Baker was doing in the second half, is when you get the better plays.
Bernie, this is going to be an interesting barometer game, I think, for the Browns. They're back home against a team in Carolina that's a little banged up. They've been losing, but still with playoff aspirations, this will be a good gauge game for the Browns, won't it?
Absolutely. Carolina, not a must-win, but almost a must-win game for their playoffs and wild card. Cam Newton, the athleticism of him is well documented. I find it interesting, though, that since his Super Bowl run in 2015, he had the labrum surgery in 2016. I think that shoulder is still bothering him from looking in film to the point where his offensive coordinator, North Turner, who called plays for me in the early 90s when we got the Super Bowl in Dallas, Cam Newton has been taken out of the game twice this year on Hail Mary plays for Carolina. So that tells me his shoulder isn't as confident in it as he would like. His legs and the way he runs the ball adds a dimension that obviously our defense is going to have to key on.
And Bernie, of course, you played through so many injuries and you continue to go out there, but when you got a sore shoulder and you're asked to throw the ball in cold weather, that's about as tough as it can get, isn't it?
Especially if you add in the wind that we hopefully are going to get in the stadium on Sunday. And another liability for the Carolina offense, I think, is they've struggled outside with the receivers. If we can focus on limiting Cam Newton in the running game, there will be focus on Christian McCaffrey, their second-year running back from Stanford. He's having a phenomenal year. They use him in lots of different ways. So the focus on McCaffrey, slowing down Cam Newton, puts the Carolina Panthers in an extremely duressful situation.
Bernie, just one final thing is because it's a topic right now around town, what the Browns are going to do in terms of the next head coach. And rather than get into speculation about who and so forth, but is there one quality that whoever that next guy is has to have as you see it?
Well, the quality, the leadership, the ability to get I don't want to say wow the room, but some of my best coaches were the guys that when they walked into the room almost stood still. You could, the respect, the admiration for your leader. And right now, again, with Greg Williams as our head coach, I think he's doing a fantastic, fantastic job. I mean, to see where we are today in early December, as compared to just a month ago in early November, his leadership is showing some of the characteristics that you want to see in a good head coach.
Seems like, yeah, they're paying attention. They seem to be getting it. Well, we'll get a good gauge on how this team is progressing by how they play against the Panthers. Bernie, as always, appreciate your time. Talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Universal Windows Direct Countdown to Kickoff from Jack Casino Sunday, 9 to 1, hosted by Mark Munchbitt, Greg Brenda, Mike Snyder before the Browns-Panthers game. Best team coverage of the Browns with Josh Cribbs. He'll be with us later at 8:45, by the way. Bernie, Terry Pluto, Phil Savage, Fred Greetham, and more here on News Radio, WTAM 1100, Cleveland's news, talk, and sports station. 757 WTAM 1100, Cleveland's morning news with Wills and Snyder. It's 818. Images yesterday playing out as 41. Impressive train. Did you see the pictures of that? The train that took the body of the 41st President of the United States from Houston to College Station.
Oh, yeah.
Station
was just,
the,
that was
the
just,
colors of Air Force One and, just, and the engine had 4141.
Yeah, that was
on the side.
Very, very cool.
So much talk about the passing of George H.W. Bush and a member of that greatest generation, of course.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Indeed, 1 hour after Japanese air squadrons had commenced bombing in the American island of Oahu, no matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory.
The words of FDR, first wave was 183 planes, second wave was 171, December 7th, 1941. And, of course, there were stories about one of the planes later that would be an American plane that carried also a future president of the United States, who we laid to rest this week.
You say, Baker, if you're so smart, why am I president and you're not? We rejoice, Mr. President, that you are safely tucked in now and through the ages with God's loving arms around you. Because our glory, George, was to have had you as our president and as such a friend.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Oak Ridge Boys performing yesterday in the train that took him to College Station to the Bush Library for burial. Complete Cavaliers coverage now. News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Your morning Cavs update brought to you by Huntington. Looking for a bank that looks out for you? Welcome to Huntington. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside, and the legend Jim Jones checks in this morning. Hi, Jim.
Morning.
Hey, guys. Jim, I want to start with a little love for Tristan Thompson. I saw a note. I think he's second now in the NBA in offensive rebounds. So much talk about this way, the way the game has changed. We saw Curry shooting it from half court. But, boy, the rebound is still key in this game, ain't it?
Yeah, it is. Possessions, and that's the name of the game. It's possessions and getting the most out of each possession, which opens the door for the three-point shot because you get, you know, three is higher than two. I think that's pretty academic. But, you know, what it is with Tristan is here's a kid that has accepted the challenge that he had to get better. You know, he pulled his calf last season, and when he came back, he wasn't jumping, so I knew that he wasn't 100%. But this season, they have been working him on his footwork. And what he's done is now he has a strong base. He has right and left pivots. He has a great jump hook, left-hand hook. That's his go-to move that he's able to get over taller players. The unique thing about Tristan scoring is that it's at the rim. And in the world of analytics, the strongest thing, the most dynamic part of analytics scoring is the three-point shot, which is pretty obvious, but also at the rim. at the rim, and that's where he's scoring, Mike.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah, and he's, you know, it's one thing to get those rebounds, but you got to put him in, and he's been doing that, and that's really been fun to see. As you put it, Jim, so much about his footwork is a factor in that. But let's take it another step, though, the three-point shot. Jim, I know it was several years ago you said to me, Mike, this game's going toward that, and yep. Boy, when you see Golden State come in, where Curry launches some of those, it's just incredible. You think, nah, that's a, and it goes, it's good. The Cavs shot the ball well the other night in the first half from three-point range and yep. did not in the second half. That's something that's got to evolve, and this three-point shot's not going away, is it?
No, it isn't, but isn't it unfair that their two best bigs didn't play?
Yeah, well.
You know, Draymond and Cousins, come on, guys. I mean, we're talking about a stacked team. Oh, my God.
It's hard to fathom what they could look like if Cousins does come all the way back, Jim.
Yeah, it does, Mike. And but he just got the okay a few days before our game, and it's going to be a while. He's a big guy, you know, and it takes time to get in shape. But I don't know if he has enough time to get in top shape, but I think he can be a factor for them. But that three-point shot is that they shoot is ridiculous. Curry was so good. Mike, that's the first time he's had a big scoring game against us where he shot in the fourth when he scored 40 points. We had no answer for him. No one in the league since since Durant has gone to the Warriors, no one has had an answer for him. He is the best shooter I've seen in. Oh, man, I'm trying to think of who I could compare him to. There is no one. The guy is 7 foot tall, and you can't get in his rhythm. He's just so good.
Cavs Sacramento tonight, Washington tomorrow night at the Q. Get your tickets, Quicken Loans Arena, and some great promotions, too, with the Cavs. The Cleveland Cavaliers tip off the most wonderful time of the year with two great giveaways for the holidays. Tonight, Cavs Sacramento Kings, 7:30, Destination Cleveland Script, Cleveland Design. Desk sign. Really nice. They dropped one off. Thank you. And next Wednesday, Cavs Knicks at 7 o'clock, Christmas Story Leg Lamp T-shirt night presented by First Energy. Our Jim Jones with his take. Cavs Now with Nick Camino at 6:30 tonight. Tip off 7:30 from the Q with Jim and John Michael here on WTAM 1100. Thanks, partner.
You're welcome, guys.
At WillsonSnyder.com, you Bill Engvall fan. Did you know he's coming to town? Lorraine Palace Theater. Lorraine, tomorrow night. He very kind with his time, spent some time with me. He's got a great podcast, My Two Cents Worth, if you want to check that out. Dancing with the Stars, of course. He's done a ton of stuff over the years. Funny guy. Bill Engvall. And he's a big Dallas Cowboy fan. And I said to him, I said, you know, there's so much drama around the Cowboys with Jerry Jones and all. And we got, you know, drama here in Cleveland, seems like, with the Browns all the time. But the Cowboys seem to win, unlike our Browns. But, you know, things are looking up with Baker Mayfield.
I want to give some props to the Browns. I've only been... Unfortunately, I've only been to one Browns game in my life, and I will tell you this, that even, I think they were like 0-9,
yeah.
But the stadium was still packed.
Oh, yeah.
And they were, yeah, Cleveland is just a sport. I think if you looked up the definition of sports town in the dictionary, it's the Cleveland city limits.
We like to feel that way, yeah. Well, you want to drop some Brown stuff in, Saturday, it'll be fine, okay? Don't worry about it. Yeah. You know, we're supposed to promote the show, by the way. Bill Engvall will be in town. He's at the Lorraine Palace Theater on Saturday night, touching on everything. Lots of great observational stuff. And look, what a career. I feel like I am talking to old radio guy because you were literally behind the mic for a while. And
let me clarify that.
Okay, all right.
My DJing involved the phrase, gentlemen, get out your wallets, here comes Cheyenne.
Well, at least it's on the resume.
Let's say I played a lot of Van Halen and AC/DC.
Well, as long as you know the intro times. But now, look, yeah, you know, we've got, real quick, we've got, and I know your time is valuable. Geraldo,
I know, the good ones always go by too fast.
I know. Geraldo Rivera is on our station. He's on at 9 o'clock. He follows me every day. You and Geraldo have something in common. You were both on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to the finals.
He went out real early, though, and you got to the finals. That's what I wanted to mention.
Yeah, by the way, it wasn't my dancing at all. It was the fact that I realized that this was just a popularity contest. And so what I would do is I would dance with this smoking hot 24-year-old British girl. And
Emma,
then at the end of the dance, I'd run over and kiss my wife. And every woman in America went, why can't you be like that? You know, it's like...
I think Bobby Bones took a page out of your when he won this year because he knew it was all about popularity. So
it is, dude. Listen, if anybody that thinks it's a dance competition is, they would not have asked us to be on a real dance competition.
Bill Engvall, yeah, he Geraldo went out a bit earlier than that, I think. Bill Engvall in town this weekend in Lorraine at the Lorraine Palace Theater. More of it, if you're a Bill Engvall fan, I think you'll love the conversation. Up online, Wills and Snyder. Page WTAM.com, and it'll be there for you to check. Josh Cribbs with us every Friday. And Josh, good morning. Let's start with Carolina and what, you know, Coach Greg Williams said to the defense. You're going to see a pretty big quarterback out there when it comes to Carolina and Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah. You know, we know who Cam Newton is. He's a very talented athletic quarterback, played in the Super Bowl a few years back and has the potential to put a team down, you know, so we have to, you know, bottle him up and make sure he's not the deciding factor in the game on Sunday.
Josh, what's it been like being around this team this week, coming off of the loss? We heard Greg Williams earlier in the week, and I think you even talked about it on Monday, that guys really got right back at it. They were looking to bounce back from the game in Houston against a good Texans team. What's the week been like?
Well, it further confirms a change of culture around there. The guys know they had an opportunity to win. We outlined certain mistakes that happened. Players outlined certain mistakes that happened that could have turned the tide for the game, pinpointing certain aspects where certain guys made mistakes. And it's a lot of taking of ownership of issues and problems that they had. You know, guys are saying, hey, that was my fault right there. And other guys are saying, no, that's my fault. Taking ownership and being accountable for things they didn't get done, which is a significant change of culture around there. And, you know, it's a direct reflection of Greg Williams.
You know, Josh, we look at the month of December, and although the forecast, I think, is just kind of be chilly, kind of cold on Sunday with no real bad weather, but we're at that time of year where we're really special teams now can really play a factor, whether it's the kicking game and punting or place kicking or the return game or coverage. Your thoughts about that group now? You've had a lot of young guys that you've had to weave in there. What are your feelings about the group heading down the stretch?
Oh, man, I you know, you hit it on the nail with that. I'm telling these guys, you know, this is a time of year where, I had a lot of success. While other guys was playing cold, I was ready. You know, I made sure I wore the cleats that work, and I went out there and played my heart. This is AFC North football at its best right here. We should be ready for this. So, you know, I'm excited for my special teams guys. You know, we have a lot of young guys. They're like a blank canvas. With most of them never have played special teams before they come to the Browns. So it's an opportunity for them right now to go out and see how they can bounce back, how they can face adversity, how they can extend what they already know as far as their knowledge on special teams. I'm looking for a great showing on teams. The guys are excited. We have basically our whole game plan in. And today is just a fast Friday to sharpen everything that we've learned through the week. I'm excited for my guys, man. I just, you know, even looking at last week's tape, seeing on one of the returns, we were one block away from, you know, from Peppers taking it to the house. And, you know, we're right there on the cusp. We're just waiting for these guys to go ahead and jump over. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Good take. Thanks, Josh. Josh Cribbs, best team coverage of the Browns. 854, somebody else, I guess, for Oscar this year. Entertainment guy Jason Nathanson is in. Kevin Hart's reign only lasted, what, a couple days? He's never going to see the stage.
Huh? No, just about 48 hours. He was named on Tuesday as the host, and then last night he was gone, which is, I think, probably the quickest exit for an Oscar host in history. But, I mean, right after he was named, old tweets and jokes resurfaced that many felt were homophobic. There was a lot of pressure on Kevin Hart to apologize, including from the Academy itself. He said in an Instagram video yesterday that he got a call from the Academy telling him, basically, apologize or that's it. And he said, look, I've addressed this stuff in the past. I've talked about it. I've apologized for it. And I need to move on. I can't spend my life apologizing. And so if the Academy needs to move on, that's fine, but I'm not going to apologize. And then an hour and a half later, he posted that he was stepping down as host of the Oscars. And he apologized. So I don't know if he was going to apologize. I don't know why he couldn't apologize to save the job. He apologized in stepping down from the job. So I guess maybe it was just too much pressure at that point or whatever. But, man, I mean, that's record speed.
I was struck by, I would think there would have been enough vetting on him where, you know, whoever's making the decision would know, look, this may come up, but don't worry about it.
Look, just the jokes surfacing around there with the homophobic stuff is the fact that he's admitted to domestic violence in the past.
Yeah.
And he cheated on his pregnant wife, you know, which are things that I guarantee you if the homophobic stuff didn't get him, that would have been made an issue between now and Oscar time, especially in this time of Me Too and Time's Up. Is he the appropriate guy? These are things that they should have thought about, especially in the wake of James Gunn being fired from Guardians of the Galaxy, a billion-dollar franchise that he created after old jokes resurfaced from 10 years later, and then he was fired from that. The Academy probably should have thought about that. But Kevin Hart, you know, if you read the articles, it's been a tough road for them to find a host for the Oscars. It's kind of a thankless job. Not a whole lot of people want to do it. Kevin Hart has said for years that he wanted to do it, so they had a guy who's not only one of the biggest movie stars in the world, but right. One of the best comedians in the world.
And now you wonder,
guy that seems like kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And then you got the stuff in his past, and you know, he could have handled it differently too. He could have apologized, and this could have gone away, but he stuck to his guns, the Academy stuck to their guns, and at the end of the day, they're looking for a new Oscar.
We'll see who goes next now when it comes to trying to host for Oscar. Maybe they just want Siri up there, do a computer or something like that. Entertainment guy Jason Nathanson on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Thanks, Jason. Hey, you can win the ultimate VIP trip to see the Rolling Stones 2019 no-filtered U.S. tour. Includes airfare, hotel, two VIP tickets. Mick will even give you the shirt off his back as you walk him up on the stage. Wouldn't that be fantastic? How do you win? Well, open up the iHeartRadio app, Rolling Stones No Filter Radio. Automatically entered to win the trip. Don't forget tickets to the show, the tour, Ticketmaster.com, RollingStone.com. For more info, you can find it there, WTAM.com. Click on the contest tab from our friends at AEG and News Radio, WTAM 1100. Geraldo in Cleveland coming up at 9:05. Trivisano and the crew after 3 with traffic and weather on the 10s. We're back Monday morning on Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Mike, just enough time for us to talk yet again about our friends at Mally's Chocolate Shopping this weekend, right?
You know, Bill, yeah. One of the toughest things I'm doing every day is going to Mally's.com, and I just start salivating as I go through all the selections there. And I'm going to keep it simple today. You're thinking about that Christmas gift or maybe something for a friend. How about the Pecan Billy Bob's? Ugh. Chewy, nutty milk chocolate treats, hiding a buttery smooth caramel center with salted pecans. You know, you can get a 14-ounce box, Bill, for just $22.85.
You had me at pecans, by the way. Look, you want to take an item, a gift this weekend if you're going to a Christmas party. I know in our neighborhood there was one last night. Mally's, stop by, pick up something. If you want to ship something, it's a $10 flat shipping rate. And so easy, Mike, to order at Mally's.com.
Absolutely. Just go right there. They're all there, and they've got special, like they've got the special selections there, really. And then, of course, they've got the Santas, the chocolate Santas, and then the Mally-O's, Bill. I love the way they describe it, generously enrobed in our real milk chocolate. So just as you say, you know, hey, take a box of Mally-O's where you're going tonight, or those Pecan Billy Bobs.
Mally's